Is Armageddon the final battle between great evil forces? Will Armageddon end civilization as we know it? Is the world to end in a coming bloodbath of death and destruction? Millions assume that's what is predicted in the Bible. Does the Bible really teach that a coming Armageddon will destroy the world as we know it? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Armageddon. The word conjures images of nuclear holocaust and the ruins of a devastated planet. What does the Bible really say about Armageddon? If you don't have a Bible in front of you, get one, because you want to follow along in today's discussion. Our guest is a minister in the United Church of God and senior writer for the Good News Magazine, Gerald Ost. Welcome, Gerald.
Thanks, Gary. Good to be with you.
You know, Gerald, you've written an article on this very subject that appeared in the Good News Magazine. From your perspective, and based on the research that you've done, what would you say is the greatest misunderstanding that people have about what the Bible really says about the future Armageddon?
I like that question, Gary. No one questions that the Bible talks about a coming Armageddon. That's a given. I would say that the greatest misunderstanding people have about Armageddon is that they falsely assume Armageddon marks the end of the world. Amazingly, Armageddon is mentioned only once in the entire Bible, and that's found in the book of Revelation. Armageddon does not signal the end of mankind. That's a myth. As strange as it might sound, the real Armageddon will not be confined to Megiddo, but will include all of Palestine, especially Jerusalem. That is an indisputable fact of Scripture. Now, the anglicized word Armageddon and the context in which it rests actually include all of the geopolitical and military activities of two great armies that fill the valley of Megiddo and the much greater valley of Jezreel. That's immediately adjacent to Megiddo, of course.
Okay, so what you're saying is, I think, a bit different than what most people believe, including Christians, who believe that Armageddon means or signifies the end of the world, the end of humanity as we know it. And, of course, most people also assume that this battle is going to be fought in Megiddo. Armageddon is a battle. Megiddo is the place.
Correct.
So maybe you can talk a little bit about this, what you call the myth of Armageddon.
Glad to, Gary. You know, it's a historical fact that many wars have been fought at Megiddo over the centuries. In fact, they say that there have been more wars fought there than anywhere. Now, perhaps that is what's given a mythical aura to Armageddon. Why many say this battle could wipe out mankind. Also, words can change their meanings over time. For example, the Bible word Armageddon has become a secular symbol for the end of the world. But let's break the word Armageddon down. Armageddon is a composite word from Har, meaning hill, H-A-R, and Mageddon, or Megiddo. And the word literally means hill of Megiddo, nothing more. The claim that Armageddon means the end of the world is both inaccurate and misleading. Now, Armageddon is only found in Revelation 16, verse 16, surprising as that may sound. Let's read through verse 16 to get some handles on the context. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world, here it is, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches, Christ says, and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Now notice what the Bible really says. God allows demonic spirits to inspire two great armies to gather around the hill of Megiddo. Nowhere in this context is Armageddon defined as a great battle. We find only two things. One, God gathers two great opposing armies around the hill of Megiddo, and two, they are gathered for the battle of that great day of God Almighty. That's what it says.
So what you're saying is that here in Revelation, Armageddon isn't an actual battle, yes, but it is a gathering, a staging area for a battle. And that battle is going to end up not being between these two armies, but against God.
Yes.
Okay.
Shocking.
Okay, but isn't Armageddon, I mean, we can still say Armageddon really is a focal point of end time prophecy.
No doubt about that. You know, based on God's purpose for Armageddon, it does focus on end time events. That's true. But based on the human myth that Armageddon's the end of the world, well, it just doesn't at all. God uses the hill of Megiddo as a staging area only. It's a gathering place for two powerful armies, one from the east, some 200 million strong, and one from the king of the north. Once we understand about Armageddon's real place in prophecy, it exists, but real place, then the whole perspective changes to one that shows some light at the end of the tunnel. Armageddon can be, and should be, to some degree, seen in a positive light.
I don't think very many people have ever thought of Armageddon in a positive light. So let's look at what we've talked about so far. According to the Bible, Armageddon isn't the end of the world, as many people believe.
Right.
Okay, in fact, we couple that with other places in the Bible, humanity's going to be set on a course of total annihilation when Christ comes back. So Armageddon is actually one event that will lead to humanity's deliverance from
right.
the brink of destruction.
Okay. Exactly.
And we're going to take a break here. But when we return, I want to get into the context of how the gathering of these armies and why they come and what happens afterwards. So we can talk about that after the break.
Yeah.
You know, our featured booklet today is The Book of Revelation Unveiled. This is an easy-to-read booklet that will assist you in understanding the truth about the events leading to the return of Christ from the Mount of Olives. Now, the subject of Armageddon that we're talking about today is addressed in this booklet, so you'll want to get a copy. We'll be back with more on these biblically prophesied events right after this.
The Book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, is to many people its most confusing. They find its strange symbols and images puzzling and mysterious. But it need not be so. The book's very name means a revealing, a way to gain understanding. Its first verse tells us it was written to reveal things which must shortly take place. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Order today.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome back to Good News Radio. We've been discussing the misunderstood subject of what the Bible actually says about Armageddon. We've already debunked the view that Armageddon is the final climactic battle fought on earth, which will result in the destruction of mankind. The Valley of Megiddo is a staging area for two great armies that will gather for a battle. Now let's focus for a minute on the immediate background that leads us to the staging of these two great armies around Megiddo. Gerald, who are these two great armies? And why are they coming together for what the Bible calls the battle of the great day of God Almighty?
Excellent questions, Gary. Well, the pertinent facts about the gathering of these two armies, they're considerable, and time's going to limit my explanation. The Bible shows that in the very end time, there will be a great global tribulation. The beast and the false prophet, inspired by Satan and demons, of course, are the cause of it. Now, in Revelation 17, Christ shows the false prophet, who represents a great church riding the back of the beast, meaning that he will use the beast's military powers to fulfill his Christian designs. Remarkably, the beast power has existed over centuries, as Revelation 17 clearly shows. And the Bible shows us that the beast power and a great religious power have interacted over many centuries and in only one area. That's Europe. Historical evidence is overwhelming here. The church in Europe has been connected to European emperors for centuries. This had not happened anywhere else on earth in the last 2,000 years. This can only represent the ancient Holy Roman Empire. No Asian nation or kingdom could fit Revelation 17's content. Neither could North America, South America. Only Europe has this history. And the Bible in Daniel 11 shows that the king of the north is Europe, based on transference of the original kings of north and south to the end-time geopolitics. Now, part of the Norse army will overcome the king of the south, and they're going to occupy Palestine. European armies in Palestine will make Jerusalem their headquarters. Therefore, one of the two great armies that will meet at the Hill of Megiddo, that's what the Bible calls Armageddon, will be the final revival of the ancient Holy Roman Empire, or whatever name they use. This is one half of what physically will happen around Megiddo.
Now, you mentioned Daniel 11. Of course, that's a very intricate prophecy where Daniel writes about the end time events between the king of the north and king of the south. And actually, that prophecy covers a lot of years between what most biblical historians say are the Greek kings of the Seleucids and the Ptolemies. Now, how do these ancient kingdoms, the king of the south, the king of the north, which were two ancient Greek kingdoms, how does that now apply, because it jumps ahead to the future? How does that jump take place?
After Alexander the Great died, the Greek kingdom was divided four ways. The most prominent ones were the Seleucids in the north, it's Asia Minor, and the Ptolemies in the south, that's Egypt and the surrounding region. Now, these kings became the types for the end-time kings of the north and south. As time passed, kingdoms wane. The king of the south passes to a great Arabic confederation, while the king of the north becomes Europe. That's very important to remember. Don't want to miss that. Now, in Daniel 11, 40 through 45, it says, at the time of the end, the king of the south, that's Arabic and Muslim confederation, shall attack him, that's the king of the north, which now is transferred to Europe, and the king of the north, a great European combine, shall come against him like a whirlwind, like a blitzkrieg, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. They'll be attacking by land and Mediterranean Sea, and he shall enter the countries, that's parts of North Africa, Arabic and or Muslim nations. He'll overwhelm them and pass through. This is still Daniel 11. He shall also enter the glorious land, that's Palestine, modern Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape from his hand, that's Edom, modern-day Turkey, Moab, Palestinians of Jordan, and the prominent people of Ammon, that's Jordanians. And he shall stretch out his hand against the countries in the Middle East, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. It's all of those Egyptian ancient treasuries. Also the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. They're going to become Europe's servants, but news from the east and the north shall trouble him. That'll be armies amassing, of course, at the border. And therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And in the process, he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas. That's the Mediterranean Sea and the glorious Holy Mountain, Jerusalem. Yet he shall come to his end and no one will help him.
You know, it's amazing that some of these events that are being described here sound like they come right out of headlines in the newspapers, the Muslim confederations, what's happening in the Middle East, the EU forming in Europe, and of course even that may change into something different over the years. But what about the other great army? So we have this great army from the north that's coming to Megiddo. What about the one from the east?
Well, the Bible prophecy, Gary, shows Gog and Magog as the armies of the northeast. It's all directions now viewed from Palestine. This can only be a great Asian combine for two reasons. One is their direction from Jerusalem and Megiddo. And secondly, the Asian nations are the only ones who can produce an army 200 million strong. For example, China alone has 1 billion citizens today. I'm not saying that's exactly who this is going to represent. Now, they're going to move against modern Europe and Palestine because Europe will strike at them preemptively. Oil is going to be a great motivator there. Their march to Megiddo will be a counterattack. By the end of the final end-time events, they will have scoured the European continent. Says the children are going to be able to count the trees that remain. And they will also cross the now dried-up Euphrates River so to place their armies on the north and the east of Megiddo. They'll be filling the valleys of Megiddo and the much larger valley of Jezreel. And the king of the north's armies will occupy all of the land south of to Jerusalem and beyond. We must never forget that God is positioning them so he, God, can give them a divine invitation through Satan and the demons to the battle of the great day of God Almighty.
Armageddon is a great event. But to understand the even greater event that you just mentioned, this invitation of these armies to come before God, we must understand that Armageddon is just a staging area for what comes next, the great climax of mankind's desires of world domination. We'll take a break, but when we return, we'll explore what lies beyond Armageddon.
Human efforts at predicting the future are notoriously inaccurate. Self-proclaimed seers and prophets have been proven wrong time and time again. But there is a sure way to know what the future holds. It's written in advance in the pages of the Bible. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. This 32-page full-color booklet will take you through the major themes of the Book of Revelation, helping you discover how it all fits together. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
Welcome back to our last segment of Good News Radio. Gerald Oss and I have been discussing biblical prophecies concerning Armageddon. We ended the last segment in Daniel 11 with two gigantic armies opposing each other around Megiddo. The armies of the East and the King of the North, which refers to modern Europe and an Asian combine of nations. So, what happens next?
You know, let's read, if you don't mind, Revelation 16:14. It says here, "For they are spirits of demons, they're performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." We're just rehearsing this again. God uses the infamous hill of Megiddo as a staging area, the place where many battles have been fought over the millennia. Demons, through human beings, will motivate both armies to head south to Jerusalem in order to turn their munitions, guns, rocket launchers, missiles, etc., against a great supernatural event forming in the heavens above, the return of Christ Jesus. They will be deceived to believe that Christ is Satan or the Antichrist. This is how Satan works, who now masquerades as an angel of light and who is currently the god of this world.
I guess you could say this is one of those times when truth is really stranger than fiction.
Oh, sure.
So God invites all the nations, these great armies, to the Har or Hill of Megiddo, Armageddon, so they can now turn and fight against the Messiah, the King of Peace. You talk about a remarkable irony.
Mm-hmm.
They try to stop the one who's going to bring peace. Now, does the Bible say now this is the end of the world? This is how humanity ends?
A lot of people think that. In Revelation 14 through 20, Christ uses the symbol of gathering grapes for crushing in order to show how Christ will overcome the wicked armies and their leaders. There will be such great carnage that the blood of these armies will run as deep as a horse's bridle. That's about 4 to 5 feet deep. Now, the Valley of Kidron, or Jehoshaphat, is the fitting grave for their great defeat and fall. It runs downhill on the north side of Jerusalem and heads east to the Dead Sea. The decimation of these great armies is what Christ calls the battle of that great day of God Almighty. What people assume to be Armageddon is actually this battle. And it is here that Christ will dramatically destroy all those who would destroy the earth.
I guess when you look at it, this is what the book of Revelation is all about. It's not just about destruction and death and the end of humanity, but Christ is revealing really to all who really desire to understand what's going to happen in those last days. The earth is going to be spared. Mankind is going to be spared. Armageddon will bring these armies to a point where they can head south and battle Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is not bringing just total death and destruction. He will to those people, but he's bringing salvation, really.
Oh, it's such a beautiful thing to see, and when you understand it, wow. It changes everything about the Bible. It does give some hope. This final battle is not between two human armies, as you've just mentioned, but between greedy and wicked demagogues and God Almighty in the person of Christ. Now, the promise of the ages that mankind should live in peace and prosperity in an international Garden of Eden can only come about, as you know, Gary, when human governments and their armies and all supporting religious bodies, let's not forget them, are removed from power. Notice the prophet Daniel's revelation of this very same event. And in the days of these kings, it says in Daniel 2, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The Bible, as you know, is like a jigsaw puzzle. It fits together with Christ's inspired help. After all, Christ is the revelator of all prophetic events. After this climactic battle, the battle of the great day of God Almighty, human beings will be close to peace and eventual prosperity. This is truly good news ahead for all of mankind.
And this really is fascinating because we can look at Armageddon and actually see that although it's a terrible thing that happens, it's not the end of humanity. It actually is a launching point for humanity's only hope.
Oh, that's so true. This should be particularly reassuring for Christians and others who have always wondered, Gary, about the so-called extinction of mankind through this myth of a life-ending Armageddon. When Christ returns as the all-powerful conqueror, human beings will finally enjoy happiness they never knew could exist.
Gerald, thanks for being on the program with us today.
Thank you for having me, Gary.
We've been discussing the myth and truth about Armageddon. Armageddon is not a life-ending event for humanity. Armageddon is the last great event that ushers in Jesus Christ's return to this earth to set up his everlasting kingdom, a kingdom of peace and prosperity. Armageddon marks the end of the great tribulation that will affect all mankind. You know, this is the Christian hope and encouragement in a world that is becoming increasingly confusing, dangerous, and evil. Act now. Request the free booklet, Revelation Unveiled at Last. The booklet is free. The information, it may change your life. To get your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. If you would like to email us here on Good News Radio, the address is gnradio@ucg.org. That's gnradio@ucg.org. And we do read our email occasionally on the air and answer questions, both the good and the bad. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice, as we always say, it's up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
The book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, is to many people its most confusing. They find its strange symbols and images puzzling and mysterious. But it need not be so. The book's very name means a revealing, a way to gain understanding. Its first verse tells us it was written to reveal things which must shortly take place. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Order today.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.